Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In our modern society, we hear a lot about love. The word is all around us. We're taught to love one another, right? Especially in today's age. And what that really means is that we don't want anybody to step on anybody else's toes, right? A no judgment zone, right? You just live your life and I'll just live mine. And somehow the world defines that as love. We're encouraged to fall in love, which essentially means that we should have prolonged warm, fuzzy feelings for someone else. And then who knows how many songs have been written about love. Only most of the time when we hear love in songs, it identifies more with the word lust than it does with love. We hear about what the world thinks about love all the time. And in fact, in my preparations for this sermon, I even consulted the dictionary. Here's how the dictionary teaches us about love. As a noun, it means a feeling of affection, or having a great interest in something, or a score of zero in the game of tennis. Spectacular, right? As a verb, it means to feel romantic attachment to someone. Well, as we read our text for today, we find out that we don't hear the world's definition, and we don't hear the dictionary's definition. But instead, we hear Jesus' definition. And what does Jesus have to tell us about love? Well, it's written out for us right here in John chapter 15. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Eight times in these few verses, Jesus mentions the word love. But again, it's not any of the definitions we've already heard today. But instead, Jesus, he pairs this word love with the word commandment. And we're left here sort of scratching our heads going, what do commandments have anything to do with love? It doesn't make any sense to us. We've been taught differently for our entire lives. And so Jesus says that this is love, doing the commandments of God. Why is he loved by his heavenly Father? The way he abides, the way he lives, the way he remains and rests and stays in this love of God is by keeping the Father's commandments. We all remember those, right? Moses climbs Mount Sinai and God gives him two stone tablets, you know, written out God's 10 rules, right? For how we ought to live holy lives. And what happens? But Jesus receives these commandments as a man and he does them, all of them perfectly, never breaking one. And not only the 10 commandments, but then all of the ceremonial laws too. All that stuff in Leviticus that we don't like to read, you know, all the extra stuff. Jesus does all that stuff too, perfectly. He fulfills all of it. And in doing so, he shows his love for God. And it's how he remains in God's love. No wrath. God literally has no anger toward Jesus. Jesus is abiding, living, staying in the commandments, and therefore he is living in God's love. And I'll give this example. When we first arrived here, my family and I, we did not have a fence behind the parsonage. And, you know, I had a young daughter, and I had two dogs, and I thought to myself, I want them to be safe. And so what happened? But I asked the church if we could build a fence behind the parsonage. That way there'd be a safe place for my dogs to run and for my child to play. And so the thing is that this fence is a lot like the Ten Commandments. Jesus abides in the Ten Commandments. He stays in the love of God. Just like now, my dog and my children can stay in the fence and they can abide in the protection that is there. They can abide in the love that fence is, because I didn't build the fence to keep them from going out to explore the world. It was built to keep them safe. It was built to keep them in a loving environment. And this is what God desires for all of us. And so Jesus, he encourages his disciples to love. Love. He invites you, each and every one of you, to abide in this love, to abide in these Ten Commandments. And he even spells it out for you. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this. Someone lay down his life for his friends. See, as we look at the Ten Commandments, we see that the life God wants for us. He wants us to live in a world without stealing and without murder and without anger and without hatred. He wants all of these things for us. And the way that the world can do this, the way that all of us can do this, is by abiding in the commandments. But even as Christians, those who believe in a loving Savior, we have this tendency to disregard the needs of our neighbor. And instead, we start to serve ourselves. We call it the opposite of love, or shorthand would be sin. That's the opposite of love. Sin is the opposite of love. It's not hate, it's sin. Like according to the seventh commandment, for instance, right? We take what doesn't belong to us. We call it stealing because we care nothing for our neighbor. If you're ever considering your neighbor's well-being, you wouldn't take from them. And if you trust that God is going to provide you with all of your physical needs, you won't need to take something away. And so what does it show us? Well, we shouldn't steal. To abide in God's love, to trust in him perfectly, to love him perfectly, is to let our neighbor have his own stuff. But we still do it. And granted, we do it in the most underhanded and sneaky ways. That way no one can call us out, right? But stealing isn't love. How about the fifth commandment, right? We're told that we shouldn't murder, and Jesus relates murder to hate. But oh my gosh, we love to hate, don't we? We like to hate people, we like to hate groups. Sometimes we even hate people so much that we want them to die. And for what reason? Because they had a different upbringing? Because they have a differing opinion? Or maybe they even have different beliefs than we do? That's not love. Love is believing that everybody in the world, no matter if it's somebody you agree with or not, is still someone that Jesus has died for. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. That means everybody. And so who does Jesus hate? No one. What about the eighth commandment? Right? We like to sling mud on other people's names, don't we? Instead of preserving someone's reputation by keeping our mouths closed, we like to give in, right? We could give people the benefit of the doubt, but we like to put a negative light on everything. Instead of seeing things from maybe a different perspective or putting ourselves into somebody else's shoes, we automatically put the worst possible construction on everything our neighbor does. And then we like to tell people about it, right? Because spreading bad news is a lot more fun than spreading good news. But even if it's true, you know, even if what you're saying is the truth, bad words about someone should still never be spoken. But for some reason, again, our sin convinces us that if we can tear somebody else down, that means that we can build ourselves up. That's not love. That's not love. And so Jesus preaches his sermon to you today that greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. The truth is that you have failed to stay within God's love. You have failed to abide there. And so what Jesus does is he goes and he lays down his life for you. Should we lay down our lives for other people? Absolutely. But the truth is we're always going to fail. The only way to abide in God's love is if Jesus does it on your behalf. And so he does. Born of the Virgin Mary, he lives a perfect life, and that means constantly serving God and serving you, serving his neighbors, all of those around him. He shows in love, and that at the end, he gives his life into death This Jesus who has abided in God's love, who deserves none of God's wrath whatsoever, what does he become? The sin of the world. And what does he experience? The entirety of God's wrath. Every single bit of it is poured out against Jesus Christ. That way when God looks at you, there's none left. God has no wrath for all of the times that we have sinned against him, for all of the times that we have sinned against our neighbor. Why? Because Jesus absorbed it all. He took it all. He shielded us from it. Jesus on the cross is the physical embodiment of love, laying down his life for you. And this Jesus who does all of these wonderful things for us, he tells us, love God, love your neighbor, abide in the Father's love. But Jesus is no stranger to the hardship of sin. He sees our helplessness. He knows what we face. He knows our enemies. And he sees that we can't do anything about it. He knows we can't do the commandments perfectly. And so instead, he makes it possible from his own power. How do you abide in God's love even when you have sin attached to you? We just heard about it in our epistle text. There are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. How do we abide in Jesus' love today? It's the gifts that Jesus gives in baptism and the Lord's Supper and the preached word. This is where God's love can be found, because these three agree. Your sins are forgiven. That's what baptism's all about. Trusting in the promise of Jesus, giving us life and salvation with the forgiveness of sins. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. Trusting that Jesus gives us life and salvation along with the forgiveness of sins as we eat and drink that gift to us. That's what every sermon is about. You are forgiven. For all of the times you left the safety of God's love, God picks you up and he puts you back. That way you can abide in his love. My friends, we have a great privilege today of living in Jesus' love, of living in the joy that comes with it. Because the truth is that for those who trust in Jesus, the law is no longer a burden. It's not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. It's something that we rejoice in doing, because recognizing that Jesus has already done everything for us, we get to love God and love our neighbor. And we can only do it as Jesus dies and rises for us. Today and always, abide in Jesus' love. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.